Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. Let's get started. Please go to Wiser Living, wiserliving.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to the educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is actually uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, the programs, services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, as well as products. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. So check out wiserliving.com. Subscribe at Wiser Living TV, follow us at Wiser Living Radio, like us at facebook.com/Wiser Living, and you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am so happy to be coming directly from you to you from the Wiser Living headquarters. I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have basically taken time out to tune into this broadcast. I'm very grateful for that because I know your time is valuable. So over the next 27 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience or add to our wellness experience. Today's broadcast is going to be on calcium and phosphorus and a few other things. But, you know, calcium is the most abundant mineral in the human body. And everyone, or just about everyone, knows about calcium. I mean, it is touted by many that it builds strong bones, as you know. Manufacturers add it to many of their products. Good marketing, but does it actually, is it the type of calcium that you should take, like calcium carbonate? Is that good to take? You know, do ground-up rocks or oyster shells sound tasty to you? You know, many people don't realize that most of the calcium supplements on the marketplace or in the marketplace comes from limestone or oyster shells. And we were never intended to eat rocks, basically. And unfortunately, almost all the supplements today not only use the minerals like calcium, but most of the vitamins are sourced from rocks and soil as mineral source because it's more cost effective that way. And science, on the other hand, has shown that the body only absorbs about 0 to 20%. That's right, 0 to 20% of these supplements, and then it flushes out the rest. The point here is this: plants absorb nutrients from rocks and soil. Humans eat the plants. Humans do not eat rocks and soil. So, think about that for a while. You know, and now the average healthy male body basically contains about 2.5 to 3 pounds of calcium, while female bodies contain approximately 2 pounds. 99% of our calcium residues basically are in the bones and teeth, which leaves about 1% in our cells and body fluids like blood vessels. Now, although only a small amount of calcium is in the blood, the body goes through great lengths to maintain blood calcium levels within a narrow range. And there are three regulatory mechanisms that control blood calcium. So if the levels drop too low, the calcium level, if it drops too low, intestinal calcium absorption increases. Bones give up its calcium, and the kidneys will slow down the release of calcium into the urine. Now, phosphorus, on the other hand, displaces calcium. So you really can't talk about one without the other. You know, let me repeat that. Phosphorus will displace calcium. So when you ingest large amounts of phosphorus-containing foods, it will cause calcium to leave your body through the urine. Now, this should be a major concern to you because that, in turn, can cause the body to leach calcium from the bones, leading to osteoporosis. Now, calcium and phosphorus are very important minerals, as we know, but in phosphorus, following calcium, is the second most abundant mineral in the body. So the two most abundant minerals in the body are very important, and they have to, and there's a narrow range they work within. Approximately 80% of phosphorus is present in the bones, while the other 20% is very active, extremely active metabolically, playing a role in the metabolism of every single cell in your body. In fact, phosphorus actually participates in more biological processes than any other mineral. So to recap, 99% of our calcium resides where? In the bones. And it's the most abundant mineral in your body. If you don't have enough of it, it can lead to osteoporosis and osteomalacia, which is basically soft bones. So I'll talk about that a little bit later. Phosphorus is the second most abundant mineral in our body. 80% lives in the skeleton, which is your bones, and the other 20% is highly active in cellular metabolism. So when it comes to your health, you typically hear about calcium, but not so much about phosphorus. And phosphorus is necessary for practically every chemical reaction that takes place in life. And as important as it is to good health, an excess of this mineral could basically lead to serious problems. I mean, you don't hear that much about phosphorus because it has been considered a non-toxic, harmless mineral. And basically, that's true. And there hasn't been many human studies done on the possible ill effects of ingesting excess of phosphorus. But ingesting too much phosphorus can wreak havoc with your health. Phosphorus helps to moderate calcium levels, so it's very important. Phosphorus helps to moderate calcium levels. It's basically accomplishes this task by acting on the four BB-sized glands called the parathyroid. It's sitting on either side of your thyroid gland. The parathyroid glands produce the parathyroid hormone. And as it works in conjunction with vitamin D, the parathyroid hormone regulates calcium levels in your blood and in your tissue. So calcium, phosphorus, and vitamin D are very important. So when you have insufficient levels of calcium, either from poor absorption or a low calcium diet, or excess phosphorus in the diet, the parathyroid glands will produce extra parathyroid hormone. And this parathyroid hormone raises blood calcium levels by taking calcium directly out of your bones. Now, this is what is occurring each and every day to most of the general population out there. And this is a common occurrence, and most people don't realize it's happening to them. As a matter of fact, our ability to absorb calcium lessens with age. Hydrochloric acid is one of the reasons. This hydrochloric acid from the stomach is required to absorb the calcium. And research has shown that by age 50, the stomach is only releasing 15% of the amount of acid that is released at age 25. And there was a study done back in the early 90s by the Department of Agriculture, and they wanted to determine the dietary calcium and phosphorus levels in the U.S. population. And this survey involved about 12,000 people, and they found that only children under the age of 11 were getting the recommended daily allowance, or RDA, set for calcium. Adolescent girls were getting only 56% of the RDA for calcium, and young women only 48%. And adults over the age of 60 were often getting less than one half of the RDA, or the recommended daily allowance, for calcium. So they're really behind. As age is being increased, the calcium levels or calcium stores are being depleted. Our phosphorus levels, on the other hand, were at or above the recommended daily allowance for all age and sex groups except for girls and young women under the age of 25. Now, there are over 45 different phosphorus-containing additives which are added to food as preservatives of color and moisture and as emulsifiers. You see this emulsification in a lot of the fast food places that we go to or people go to. There are phosphate-containing food starches that are in ready-to-eat frozen foods and desserts. Phosphorus additives are used in frozen pizzas, frozen chicken and fish. And if that's not enough, there are over 70 phosphorus compounds that are in use as indirect additives in packaging materials and sanitizers. And then there's fast food. fast foods, which are often loaded with phosphate compounds, that basically they're loaded with that because it helps to retain the moisture and to act as anti-caking agents. So all of this also contributes to the problem of with our calcium and phosphate ratio. Now, researchers now believe that phosphorus-containing food additives actually contribute to over 30% of the total adult phosphate intake. So there's a third right there before you do anything else. And then additional phosphorus comes from hard water sources and soft drinks. Soft drinks or sodas, man. You know, a 12-ounce soft drink or soda contains about 50 milligrams of phosphorus. And the average annual consumption of soft drinks, at least in the U.S., exceeds 50 gallons per person. 50 gallons per person. So soft drink consumption basically surpassed water consumption way back in the early 80s. And as strange as that might sound, the average person in the U.S. consumes over 50 gallons. That's 189 liters of soft drinks per year, while only drinking 40 gallons or 151 liters of water. Wow. The problem with that is, unlike calcium, which is difficult to absorb, roughly 70% of all dietary phosphorus is readily absorbed from the intestine and directly transported directly into the bloodstream. And also, unlike calcium, your body has very little control over how much phosphorus is absorbed. And certain minerals such as iron and magnesium can actually interfere with phosphorus absorption, but only when large amounts of it is taken, which is quite rare. Because if you take too much iron, you get constipation. So you have these portholes that are docking stations that want the calcium, the phosphorus, and then there's iron. And so there may be a log jam there where it doesn't happen adequately. So when your body actually detects high phosphorus levels in the bloodstream and low calcium, certain events are triggered. First, the parathyroid gland begins to produce additional amounts of parathyroid hormone. And this increased parathyroid activity is called secondary hyperparathyroidism. So in effect, balance the amount of phosphorus by increasing calcium, the parathyroid hormone causes a release of calcium from your bone. And research has shown that the bones most affected are the femur, which forms the hip joint, the spinal bones, which forms your vertebrae, and the large bones in the upper arm called the humerus, and also the jawbone. And as a side note, estrogen makes bone less sensitive to the parathyroid hormone and can help stop the removal of calcium. So this helps explain why osteoporosis occurs less in premenopausal women and those taking estrogen. Now, high phosphorus diets, especially when you're low in calcium, will lead to osteoporosis, which leads to hip fracture and collapsing of the spinal vertebrae. Also, you can add magnesium depletion to the mix. Magnesium and calcium in supplement form should be taken in a 1-to-1 ratio. Before, it was like they've been saying for years and years, a 2-to-1 ratio, but it should be 1-to-1 ratio simply because food processing is a major cause of magnesium depletion. And magnesium is what you call a nutritional superstar when it comes to cardiovascular disease. You know, magnesium deficiency is basically associated with an increased incidence of atherosclerosis. And magnesium basically single-handedly influences many of the activities associated with a wide variety of heart medications. For example, magnesium actually inhibits platelet aggregation like aspirin. It thins out blood like Coumadin. It blocks calcium uptake like calcium channel blockers, calcium channel blocking drugs like Procardia for high blood pressure. And it releases or relaxes blood vessels like ACE inhibitors such as enalapril, which also basically is for high blood pressure again. So magnesium also increases oxygenation of the heart and the heart muscle, by improving heart contractions. So calcium and magnesium in a one-to-one ratio plus phosphorus plus vitamin D are very important for reactions to go on in your body efficiently and effectively. Let me take a little time here to go over 9 less obvious problems that are linked to high phosphorus and low calcium diet. Number one would be basically practically everyone knows about the connection between muscle cramps and a lack of calcium, right? You know, early signs of a calcium deficiency may come as twitching in your facial muscles, which most people don't really connect to calcium. So an early sign of a calcium deficiency may come as twitching in the facial muscles. The twitches are often small muscle cramps, but most people think of cramps in the legs, in the toes, or in the fingers, you know. The cramping of the large muscles are easy to recognize. We all know that, but it's the muscle cramps you can't feel that can have the greatest impact on your health. Number two is mini strokes. Now, mini strokes are transient ischemic attacks, so they shorten it to become a TIA. Basically, mini strokes is a condition that is becoming more and more common. The problem occurs when, for no apparent reason, the blood supply in different areas of the brain gets cut off for a short period of time. And the transient ischemic attacks are a precursor to major strokes. And patients are usually given blood thinners or anticoagulants in hopes that the problem will just eventually just resolve itself. And, there are different factors that have been implicated as causes of these mini strokes, such as hemorrhages and blood clots, especially in the leg muscles or calf muscles. But there's another factor that causes mini strokes, and it's often overlooked. And both large and small blood vessels are surrounded by muscular layers. And just like the larger muscles in your legs or calves, these small muscles will cramp if there's not enough calcium. So if it happens, you probably won't feel the cramp itself, but the spasm will temporarily shut off the blood supply to an area of your brain, basically. And when this happens, it causes a TIA or a transient ischemic attack or what we call a mini stroke. Now, what you experience with a mini stroke will depend on the area of the brain that's involved. It might be a temporary blindness or paralysis or a temporary double vision or confusion or memory loss. You could have a mild slurred speech, falling down, or vertigo. You know, added to all of this is addressing problems like high blood pressure, fragile blood vessels, and abnormal clotting, which means that calcium imbalances need to be addressed. Number three is periodontal disease and tooth loss. You know, bacterial infections, which flourish in gum pockets surrounding a tooth, also deteriorate the area of the jawbone supporting the tooth. And this problem worsens at a rapid pace when calcium has been leached from the jawbone due to high blood levels of phosphorus, processed foods, fast foods, and sodas that I mentioned earlier. Now, this osteoporosis or porous bone condition actually limits the options available to treat the problem. And without a good jawbone structure for support, bone grafting or dental implants, removing loose teeth and fitting for dentures are often the only options that are left. Number four is high blood pressure. High blood pressure. You know, studies have shown that chronically low levels of calcium may be a risk factor for developing high blood pressure. And in some people, oral calcium supplements will lower the blood pressure, but then in other people, calcium supplements will do nothing or may even raise blood pressure. So because of the effects that both calcium and sodium have on the kidneys, hypertensive patients that respond favorably to a reduction of table salt from their diet, just reducing this table salt from their diet and replacing it with sea salt or Himalayan salt, would generally benefit from calcium supplementation. Remember, though, processed foods have a lot of the wrong salt. It has a lot of the wrong salt in it. So before you try to treat high blood pressure with calcium, I suggest that you have a doctor monitor the situation. You know, because when it comes to high blood pressure, calcium, like sodium, can affect different people in different ways. Number five is osteomalacia. Osteomalacia is a term used to describe a softening of the bone, and it's usually accompanied by aching bone pains, which is often referred to as rheumatism. You know, I have seen huge reductions in deep aching bones when calcium was increased in patients. You know, osteomalacia is also linked to the use of antacids containing aluminum hydroxide. So be careful with when you're taking antacids. Start looking at the ingredients in it as well. Number six is torticollis. Briefly, torticollis is one of the most difficult conditions I've ever treated. It involves almost constant spasms in certain neck muscles, which continually draw the head to one side or the other. And parathyroid treatment can often help lessen the severity of this problem. Number seven is chronic hoarseness. You know, a spasm of one of the vocal cords will cause a voice to become rough and deep, especially if you don't have a deep voice. You know, it can quickly progress to hoarseness. And treating the parathyroids and the phosphorus calcium imbalance will often correct the condition with no problem. Number eight is Parkinson's disease. The trembling and symptoms associated with Parkinson's disease will often respond to treatment of the parathyroid glands and balancing the phosphorus calcium level. And you keep hearing this phosphorus calcium level over and over again. And basically, I'm not suggesting that this is a cure by any means, but positive changes will happen just by using a technique that I'll go over in a moment to balance the parathyroids out. And number nine is soft tissue calcification, kidney stones, and atherosclerosis. I know a couple of patients in the last 2 years have had, you know, they've had multiple kidney stones, and they can't figure out why do I continue to get these kidney stones, and I'm drinking, I've increased water, so, you know, why is this happening? Well, high phosphorus, low calcium diets can increase the deposition of calcium in the soft tissue. And two of the most common areas where calcium was found to accumulate were the kidneys and the aorta. Now, the problem was worsened when there were low levels of magnesium in the system. So there seems to be a common misconception among, you know, many people concerning calcium. They worry that taking extra calcium will cause it to be deposited in their joints, leading to arthritis or increased chances of developing kidney stones or calcium deposits in their arteries. And researchers have basically shown that the reverse is true. High phosphorus and low calcium diets will develop calcium deposits in the soft tissues like the muscles, the nerves, the blood vessels, fibrous tissue, fat, tendons, ligaments, and skin. The two most common areas of deposition being the kidneys and the aorta again. And high phosphorus, low calcium diets can also contribute to kidney stone formation and atherosclerosis or the clogging of the arteries. Now, there are several steps you must take to remedy these nine issues. And the long-term benefits of improving your phosphorus calcium levels, such as arthritis and osteoporosis, it can really be enormous. I mean, it can be huge. It may be the short-term effects, like preventing a stroke, that actually saved your life. The first thing to do is lower phosphorus intake. Increasing your calcium intake is probably the easiest thing that you can do. But unfortunately, increasing calcium will not eliminate all of the undesirable effects if you don't eliminate the phosphorus. Because phosphorus and decreasing the amount of phosphorus in your food may be the one of the most difficult tasks to do. And difficult due to the fact that phosphorus is so plentiful in the food supply. It's everywhere, it seems like, especially in processed food. And so the first order of business is to cut back or even eliminate soft drinks from your diet. That you can do. Just totally eliminate it if you can. Next, you should try to integrate a wider variety of fresh foods into your diet. It may keep you in the kitchen longer, but you'll benefit from it. The typical meat and potatoes diet is high in phosphorus. If you switch to meat and sweet potatoes or meat and vegetables, that would be a better combination. Also, try to concentrate on eating fewer prepared foods. As I mentioned before, processed food, frozen food dishes are loaded with phosphorus and phosphate additives. And supplementing your diet with calcium is a good idea, but make sure that the calcium is coming from a plant source like, say, red algae. And I take a product called Phytomatrix that gives me 52% of the calcium I need daily, and I get the rest from my diet, plant-based diet. You know, make sure you're getting magnesium as well as vitamin D, and also you might want to put a little vitamin K1 and K2 into your diet as well. You know, calcium-rich foods include fermented milk products like yogurt, kefir or kefir, buttermilk, acidophilus milk, and various cheeses from organic grass-fed cows. It must be from organic grass-fed cows. And each of these basically provide, along with lactic acid, enhanced, calcium, and also the lactic acid will help the digestive process. So you can balance your parathyroid activity through lymphatic reflexes and supplementation. I use this quite a bit. And knowing how to do this is particularly helpful for Parkinson's patients or anyone suffering from transient ischemic attacks or mini strokes or facial twitching or those with severe osteoporosis or osteomalacia or sudden causes of hoarseness, which can benefit from this lymphatic reflex technique. And the reflex points are located just under your collarbone in the front of your upper chest, next to your sternum, just under the first rib. Another point is at the outside edges of your shoulder blade, and you probably can't reach that one, so we might have someone else to help you do that. Now, to activate these reflexes, just rub the points using approximately 5 pounds of pressure in a circular motion for about 10 to 15 seconds using either your thumb or index finger. I kind of use my first two digits. And you can do this several times a day. Easy to do. Your body's storage of calcium is in a constant state of transformation. And this transformation process is referred to as bone remodeling. And the bones act as an active storehouse for calcium reserves. And most people know that. You know, roughly 99% of the total calcium in your body is in the bones. The other 1% is in the body fluids and soft tissue. Calcium is drawn from the bones as necessary to maintain proper blood and tissue levels. So when there is an excess of calcium, it is redeposited in the bones. And research has shown that under normal circumstances, the calcium in your bone is completely removed and completely replaced about every 10 years. And the calcium levels in food and milk, unless it's raw milk from grass-fed cows, is not sufficient for normal body activity. And low-calcium diets are made worse by increasing amounts of phosphorus in our food. So as we age, the problem gets worse, plus it becomes harder to assimilate due to a lack of digestive acid, less exposure to the sun, which leads to lower levels of vitamin D, which is essential for strong bones and proper calcium use. So the sooner you realize the seriousness of the situation before you, the sooner you will be able better the chances of avoiding problems like mini strokes, problems like full-blown strokes, osteoporosis, rheumatism pain, atherosclerosis, kidney stone, osteoporosis, and many more things. So when you look at the balancing of the body, calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, vitamin D, K1, K2, I mean, it just what I didn't mention here is should be obvious, but it's really hard for people, and that's exercise. Exercise and drinking water is probably should be number one or number two on the list. So we've gone over most of the issues here, and I didn't talk about a little bit the thieves and steal other thieves and steal like statin drugs and stuff, but. We'll cover that on the next broadcast. I want to thank you for being to calling in today, dialing in. So let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. And this is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.